Hey, good evening, everybody. Malloy here. Welcome to the program. Your humble and obedient servant. Indeed. We have another interesting day today, isn't it? We're living the Chinese curse. May you live an interesting life. So I'm not exactly sure where to start here, except to just throw a dart at the dartboard and begin there. Let's start with an email from Terry, who is living in Hudson, Canada. I mentioned last night that none of the events that happened subsequent to 9/11 would have, or none of the events that happened subsequent to 9/11 would have happened had there not been a 9/11. Terry writes, last night on your show, you made the strong point that, quote, none of these events would have happened without 9/11, unquote. I'm not sure what you were including in the term events, but I'm pretty certain that you pointed out that the massive illegal surveillance started up before 9/11. No, I didn't at the time, and that's true. I think the Bush crime family had only been in office a couple of days when Cheney started this massive surveillance program. Because he could. And but as far as the washout of all the other events that have occurred, the invasion of Afghanistan, the invasion of Iraq, the overthrowing of the Saddam Hussein regime, the sending of 4,000-plus American soldiers to their deaths for no reason, just on and on, the destruction of our economy, all of that had its genesis in the kind of attitude developed by these criminals that ran this country for 8 years immediately after the 9/11 event, of which they were certainly a part of, one way or another. If it was stupidity on their part, you know, the let it happen on purpose crowd, or they actually planned it, the made it happen on purpose crowd, whatever, wherever you fall on that timeline, I mean on that theory line. I know a lot of people say, yeah, you know, that's crazy talk, Malloy. It just happened. I'm sorry, I completely and totally disagree with that. Things don't just happen, not of that magnitude. Things don't just happen. There has to be tremendous amount of cooperation, either implicit or explicit, from the victim. And the victim was the United States. And the people who were in charge of the United States at the time was the Bush crime family. So, no, I don't believe that victims are picked randomly. I really don't. Whether it is a country that is attacked with planes loaded with jet fuel or an elk that is culled from a herd by a bunch of wolves out on the prowl. There are signals that go back and forth between predator and victim, and those signals are pronounced, they're definite, and they're picked up by the predator. And there's something about the Bush crime family, well, everything about the Bush crime family that just screamed, "We are victims. We are willing to be attacked. Come attack us." Now, what their motives were is open for debate, but they did this, I have no doubt. I caught this from the Associated Press just a few minutes ago. There's a guy named Igor Panarin. He is, what is he? He's a dean at the Russian Foreign Ministry School for Future Diplomats and a regular on Russia's state-guided TV channels. He is predicting that before the end of this year, President Barack Obama will order martial law. The United States will split into six rump states before 2011, and Russia and China will become the backbones of a new world order. Notice how he's conveniently included Russia. Like the Chinese are looking around going, yeah, I know, we want to align with more Westerners. That's always good for China, politically. He told dozens of students, professors, and diplomats yesterday, or day before, at the Diplomatic Academy. He gave a lecture, and he pointedly invited the Associated Press and other foreign media to attend. And one of the statements he made is, quote, there is a high probability that the collapse of the United States will occur by 2010, end quote. He is a former spokesman for Russia's Federal Space Agency, an ex-KGB analyst. Putin has likened the United States to Nazi Germany's Third Reich and blames Washington for the global financial crisis that has pounded the Russian economy, which is pretty much true. You know, even a stop clock is right twice a day, right? Now, this guy Panarin, Igor Panarin, didn't give many specifics on you know, where, why he came up with this analysis. But he also noted that he's been predicting the demise of the United States for more than 10 years now. But he said the recent economic turmoil here and what he calls other social and cultural phenomena have led him to nail down a specific time frame for what he calls the end, when the U.S. will break up into six autonomous regions and Alaska will revert to Russian control. This is quick. Somebody notify Sarah Palin. Yeah, you'll be able to see him from, you'll be able to see Putin from your front porch pretty soon, kiddo. Now, Panarin argued that Americans are in moral decline. Yeah, we are. And that our stress is evident from school shootings, the size of the prison population, so far so good, and the number of gay men. Oh, my God. Oh, just when I'm starting to read what you're saying, Igor, you come up with one of those. Okay. And then he turned to the economic woes that we have here. He cited the slide of major bank indexes, decline in U.S. gross domestic product, yada, 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 yada. He said, quote, I was there recently here in the United States, and things are far from good. What's happened is the collapse of the American dream, end quote. It wasn't clear how people in the lecture hall, how many people bought this this guy's point of view. One instructor, apparently, according to Associated Press, one instructor asked Panarin whether his predictions more accurately describe Russia, which is undergoing its worst economic crisis in a decade, as well as a demographic collapse. Whether that has had led some scholars to predict scholars have predicted Russia's demise. So Associated Press said, well, is that what you're doing, more or less? They're saying, are you just projecting your own country's misery off on the United States? And Panarin dismissed that idea. He said the collapse of Russia will not occur. Yo, Panarin, it's already occurred. What's the life expectancy in your country for vodka-swilling males? So is it down to 58 years old now? Alexei Malashenko, scholar in residence at Carnegie Moscow Center, who didn't attend the lecture, he said Russia is the country that's on the verge of disintegration. Malashenko told the Associated Press, quote, I can't imagine all how the United States could ever fall apart, end quote. Well, I guess we certainly could, and it seems like there's so many people in this country, especially in media, right-wing media, who are hell-bent on seeing that happen. Does Limbaugh and Hannity, and do Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of these people on the right, do they really think that their money will protect them when chaos breaks out? What? I don't quite get that. I really don't. They won't protect you at all, boys. They'll be right down in the slime and the blood and the goo with everybody else. Huh? All right, we have a break here. When we come back, I'll let you hear Darth Cheney on Sean Hannity's program on Tuesday, where he wants the President of the United States to do what his president did, and that's violate the law by releasing classified documents. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Back in the U.S. as all. Well, are Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Welcome back. You know, right before another thing, right before showtime, that was extremely disturbing. I was watching Keith Olbermann, and Sean Hannity is going to be waterboarded as a joke. You know, I, man. Just about had enough, haven't you? Haven't you? Speaking of the little punk, Darth Cheney was on his program Tuesday, his television program. The baby Jesus asked Dark Lord Cheney, I'm going to go back to the issue of interrogations and the releasing of the memos that gave out specific information. Even Liam Panetta said it was dangerous. Four former CIA directors said it was dangerous. They urged the Obama administration not to do it. Why? Why do you think they would do that in spite of that recommendation, political reasons? And secondly, why is it important that these interrogations took place? Ooh, toss him a soft-boiled egg, you little... I mean, the ones they were talking about were sleep deprivation, waterboarding, putting insects into small confined areas and telling them they're really deadly insects. Why were those tactics needed and necessary? And why do you think they continue to be necessary? Huh? Oh, we have that on. We have the baby Jesus saying that. Okay, let's just go ahead and play the soundbite.
I want to go back to the issue of interrogations and the releasing of the memos that gave out specific information. Even Leon Panetta said it was dangerous. Four former CIA directors said it was dangerous. They urged the Obama administration not to do it. Why do you think they would do that in spite of that recommendation, if only for political reasons? And secondly, why is it important that those interrogations took place? I mean, the ones they were talking about were sleep deprivation, waterboarding, putting insects into small confined areas and telling them that they were deadly insects. Why were those tactics needed, necessary, and why do you think they continue to be necessary?
With the intelligence programs, the terror surveillance program, as well as the interrogation program, we set out to collect that kind of intelligence. It worked. It's been enormously valuable in terms of saving lives, preventing another mass casualty attack against the United States. One of the things that I find a little bit disturbing about this recent disclosure is they put out the legal memos, the memos that the CIA got from the Office of Legal Counsel, but they didn't put out the memos that show the success of the effort. And there are reports that show specifically what we gained as a result of this activity. They have not been declassified. I formally ask that they be declassified now. I haven't announced this up till now. I haven't talked about it, but I know specifically of reports that I read, that I saw, that lay out what we learned through the interrogation process and what the consequences were for the country. And I've now formally asked the CIA to take steps to declassify those memos so we can lay them out there and the American people have a chance to see what we obtained and what we learned and how good the intelligence was, as well as to see this debate over the legal opinion.
Oh, okay. You formally asked the CIA to take steps to declassify those memos so we can lay them out there and the American people have a chance to see what we obtained and what we learned and how good the intelligence was. All right, you lying son of a bitch. Let's see what happens next. Huh? What do you... let's see those. Now, come on, Dick. We don't want the memos that say, well, you know, we intercepted, based on intelligence, we intercepted a bomb plot to blow up Michigan. No, Dick. If you're going to play this sick goddamn game with you and your little butt boy there, Sean Hannity, if this is the game you're going to play, okay? If everything about what you pigs did the last 8 years is suddenly just, moves on a chessboard, so to speak, you rotten bastard, okay, then provide us really, really, really provide us with transcripts and videotapes of what the torturees screamed and how it was written down, all this information they revealed. And then, Dick, show us what actions were taken by the Bush crime family, that would be you, to intercept or stop these attacks that you are so insistent were going to happen to the United States. Let me tell you something, Dick. You are a liar. You are a filthy liar. You have been a liar since you first weaseled your way into government. You were a liar when you ducked military service. What did you get, Dick? 6 deferments? Isn't that what all you right-wingers do, Dick? Yeah, it is.
Swam in your pools, lay under your palm trees. I looked in the eyes of the Indian who lay off the letter of Livingston. I threw the rangefinder over the hill. I saw the frontline boys hopping their pills. Sick of the mess they find on that desert stage and the bravery of being outraged. Yeah, the question is vexed.
Loud, proud, progressive talk. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. I'm just sitting here reading some of the emails y'all are sending me about Sean Hannity, laughingly saying he'll be waterboarded for charity. And then I understand I missed this part, but Oberman came back and said for every second that he does it, Oberman will give $1,000 to charity or to the families of soldiers who have been killed because of actions taken by an administration that Sean Hannity was willing to get down to, on his knees in front of. A lot of emails coming in from people who have suggestions about what they would like to ask Hannity, if he actually goes through with this, which I don't think he will. Sons of bitches do, if they're asked to serve their country or go to the military or do whatever. You know, oh, I got a doctor's slip here. I have a carbuncle on my ass. I'm sorry. I can't, you know. It's astonishing to me that something like drowning, and it's not partial drowning, I heard today, it is actual drowning, and at the last minute you're pulled from drowning. How can somebody trivialize this? How can somebody in media trivialize this the way Hannity has done it? I mean, this is not a goddamn Dunk the Clown thing at your local mall carnival. This is something that has been classified as torture for what, the past 150 years? And this stupid little punk is, you know, with any luck, the son of a bitch will drown. With any luck, Sean Hannity, will now find himself stepping into the abyss. Well, one can hope. You know, it's his game. His little action. His little lifting his leg and urinating over every single person who's ever been treated this way, including American soldiers in Japan during World War II. Sean, you're just a rotten, rotten human being. You really are, right down to your filthy, smirking core. You really are. With any luck, Hannity will go through the drowning process, and they won't pull him back. What's the matter, Kathy? I hate him. I hate these bastards. I hate what they've done to my country. I wish they would leave. I wish every one of these filthy sons of bitches would leave. Just go away. You know, you've gotten all this money. You're paid millions of dollars a year to lie and sneak and be the little cowardly bastard you are and to prey upon the half-formed minds of so many people in this country. Kathy, I hate them. Hate.
Tell me how you really feel.
No, this is not funny. Okay, let me shift gears here real quick. Trivializing torture. Son of a bitch. Michael in Roswell, New Mexico writes in, and while Cheney's at it, you know, Cheney wants to have these memos released. While Cheney's at it, let's get everything released, Michael writes. Not just the documents that he thinks makes his case, including the details of the 4,300-odd false leads that the FBI had to chase down, created by false confessions induced by torture. Let's also note that not even so-called successes justify this kind of behavior. The Department of Justice prosecuted and convicted a sheriff in Texas in 1983 for waterboarding his prisoners to extract false confessions. War crimes trials put Japanese soldiers to death for waterboarding prisoners. One of our soldiers was court-martialed for waterboarding prisoners in the Philippines in 1903. It is a war crime. And anyone who approved of it or looked the other way is a war criminal. Dick Cheney is a presumptive war criminal. And this can be demonstrated in a court of law. If anyone has the testicles to arrest and try, why can't I say balls? I'm going to say it anyway. If anyone has the balls to arrest and try him. Well, damn it, Kathy. If I can use cojones, I will say balls. If somebody doesn't like it, go ahead. Who knows what I'm talking about? Ah! Too angry, too early in the program. All right, now, speaking of saying balls on the air, what about, what's his name, Shepard Smith, drops the F-bomb on his television program. Sounds like the Fox News anchors are going just a little bit crazy over this revelation of torture. I don't know who these people are. I don't know what this program is. I know Shepard Smith's name. He's that dewy-eyed freak who every time he looks in the camera, I get sexually aroused. And I'm not gay. I don't know what it is about his eyes, but it just, you know, oh, baby. And, you know, it's been 50 years since I had any homosexual experiences. So Shepard Smith is just tapping into...
What in God's name is going on with...
No, oh, you know the story stuff.
Do you need a vacation?
Oh, yes. Yes. But anyway, I digress.
This has been the strangest 5 minutes of your program.
I know.
I don't know, 15 years.
I know. Kathy, I'm losing it. I truly am losing it. If we could get more subscribers in here, maybe I won't lose it. But, you know, I'm upset about the slow pace of people willing to spend 25 goddamn cents a program to get these podcasts. You know,
well, that's a way to do it.
Yeah. That's a way to convince them, right? Yeah, what's the matter with you people?
It sounds like you're doing a Malloy Uncensored mailbag and pulling a Shepard Smith, although, hey, honey, hey, this is live radio. Okay, I don't have the camera running. This isn't just for podcasters.
All right, let's go back to, let's go to Shepard Smith on Fox News Channel. See, these people on Fox cannot accept torture, even though anyone with, I don't know what, eighth or ninth grade education who has any kind of understanding of U.S. history or especially U.S. military history, which none of these little punks do, would understand completely, perfectly, with no equivocation whatsoever. Waterboard drowning is torture. But anyway, here is, did we bleep it?
Well, you, what difference does it make?
At this point, it doesn't.
No holds barred.
Well, I wonder, the reason I ask, I wonder if Fox News now is going to get a what was the bill passed by George W. Bush's Republican legislature? Was that declared unconstitutional? I have no idea, but it's something like millions and millions and millions of dollars for saying, not the F-bomb, for saying other words. But anyway, here it is. Here's Shepard Smith.
We got Bob Baer saying one thing. We got a lot of people saying another thing. We've had the former CIA director came out and said this stuff helped.
We are America.
I agree.
I don't give a rat's ass if it helps.
I agree.
We are America. We do not f
in torture.
Right.
Don't do it. But here's the point. The point is this, is that you've got two schools of thought.
Yeah.
And you cannot just say, okay, this school of thought is accurate, and Bob Baer, who's trying to sell books and does a very good job of that, you still have to say, I'm not saying they're torture.
Okay. Get rid of these swine. I just wanted to hear the part where you did believe it, didn't you? Oh, well.
I should bleep you.
You can go to YouTube.com, and I'm sure you'll get the unexpurgated version of this. So, you know, my point being simply that I get a lot of emails from self-described righteous right-wingers and conservatives and Christians who are just so offended every time I use a cuss word, a cuss word. The F-bomb is in a class all by itself, don't you think? I wonder how many of these dribble-nosed freaks will now send an email to Fox News Channel or to Shepard Smith displaying the same sort of outrage, I tell you, outrage that comes directed to this program sometimes over my use of cuss words, simple cuss words, words that, you know, everybody uses in conversation. Oh, I know, sweetheart, you don't. Referring to some of these Christian women who write to me, well, I was in the car and my child heard you say, goddamn, I think you and your wife and child ought to die. You know, that kind of thing. I always like those.
You ought to hear what some people say when they call me up.
Oh, I know. Those are Christians, Kathy. You know. We never get any Jews call up or Muslims call up or Hindus call up and say that kind of stuff. It's always Christians.
Well, I don't ask them their religious orientation.
Well, trust me on this, kiddo. Oh, my God. All right. No point in trying to start a new topic here. We have a break coming, so we shall pause. Maybe I should go get a little wine right now. Am I just too...
You mean you haven't had any?
No! Hell no! This Hannity thing...
What did you do? Stick an EpiPen in your leg?
There's too much pollen in the air down here.
Pollen!
In the buckle of the Bible Belt. It must have been the pollen. I don't know. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
So you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. TNT in Huntington Beach, California writes, Mike, take it from a security specialist. Because of the so-called Patriot Act and similar legislation, Dick Cheney could neither reveal the contents of memos such as he described, nor even mention that such memos exist. The reason he did so is obvious. It's because they don't exist. But it made the lying, blustering fool look good for at least a brief second, while at the same time hastening his impending jail term, when it's actually announced that no such memos ever existed. And Eddie in L.A. writes, Mike, regarding Dick Cheney, he has again broken the law by both mentioning classified documents to the public and describing the subject matter. All right. So, you know, two different opinions here. Yeah, if they do exist, he, according to the draconian laws passed by Bush or the Republicans during the Bush-Cheney crime family years, yeah, these guys are they're guilty of crimes against the state. You like that? Now, this is a kind of unnerving. Where does this come from? Well, I'll have to I'm going to check this out. But according to what I've got here, the Obama administration is asking the Supreme Court to overrule longstanding law that stops police from initiating questions unless a defendant's lawyer is present. That would be the Miranda rights. You have a right to an attorney, yada, yada, yada. Another stark example, the White House seeking to limit rather than expand rights. The administration's action and several others have disappointed civil rights and civil liberties groups that expected Barack Obama to reverse the policies of George W. Bush after the Democrat called for change during the 2008 campaign. The case at issue is Michigan versus Jackson, in which the Supreme Court said in 1986 that police may not initiate questioning of a defendant who has a lawyer or has asked for one unless the attorney's present. I guess that's not really Miranda, but it's like Miranda. The decision applies even to defendants who agree to talk to the authorities without their lawyers. Okay, that's not Miranda. Anything police learn through such questioning cannot be used against the defendant at trial. The opinion was written by Justice John Paul Stevens, the only current justice who was on the court at the time. The justices could decide as early as tomorrow whether they want to hear arguments on the issue as they wrestle with the ongoing case from Louisiana that involves police questioning of an indigent defendant that led to a murder confession and a death sentence. And the article goes on. I'm not sure where this is from, but this and I've got some more here. What is the Obama administration doing? I mean, what is this insanity? Trying to follow in the footsteps of Bush and Cheney? What's this other thing here? Oh, and by the way, it was Defense Secretary Robert Gates. He said today that he supported the release of those sensitive memos on detainee interrogation last week because he viewed their ultimate disclosure as inevitable. Here it is. This is another, you know, another brick in the wall here. The Obama administration siding with the Bush White House contended, when was this? Oh my God, this is 2 months ago. Okay, this is not new, but somehow it got by me. They said that detainees in Afghanistan have no constitutional rights. In a two-sentence court filing, the Justice Department said it agreed that detainees at Bagram Airfield cannot use U.S. courts to challenge their detention. The filing shocked human rights attorneys. One of them said, quote, the hope we all had in President Obama to lead us on a different path has not turned out as we'd hoped. We all expected better, end quote. The military has determined that all the detainees at Bagram are so-called enemy combatants. The Bush administration said in response to this petition last year that the enemy combatant status is at Bagram is reviewed every 6 months, taking into consideration classified intelligence and testimony from those involved in the capture and interrogation. Jonathan Hoffitz, an attorney with the American the ACLU, who's represented several of these detainees, said the Obama administration has now embraced the Bush policy that you can create prisons outside the law. The Obama Justice Department is arguing that the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, where we torture and kill people, we torture and kill detainees there, at least during the Bush years. The government... Or the Obama Justice Department argues that Bagram Air Base is different from Guantanamo because it is in an overseas war zone and the prisoners there are being held as part of a military action. The Obama government argues that releasing enemy combatants into the Afghan war zone or even diverting U.S. personnel there to consider their legal cases could threaten security. Well, of course, we're there under false pretenses to begin with, aren't we? Oh, Jesus. I don't know. The Obama Justice Department said that if the Bagram detainees got access to the courts, it would allow all foreigners captured by the United States in conflicts worldwide to do the same. No, it wouldn't. You know how you get around it? Before you invade another country, you do what the Constitution says, and you get a declaration of war. Something we haven't done since December 10th, 1941. That's how you avoid all these legal niceties, Mr. Holder. You get a declaration of war. And if you can't get one, you don't invade. Ooh, hard stuff. Welcome back. It is just about 7 past the hour. I've gotten a couple of emails from people that said this was Shepard Smith was on a Fox television, internet television program when he used the F word. Okay. Then that makes it okay. I guess what bothers me about it is certainly not the use of the word, but the sanctimonious attitude that most of the people on Fox have. And then when they, I guess when they figure it's safe to use the kind of language that everybody uses, you know, then it's a different story, right? This is from Georgia, North Carolina. And I'm going to have to kind of wend my way through this email because, George, you talk about using the F-bomb. Woo! George writes, Mike, Sean Blank is not going to be waterboarded. Here's why, simply. He will be able to tap out, you know, tap, 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 like Christopher Hitchens did, and stop his antics anytime he wants. As a matter of fact, he would actually be able to prosecute his team if they fail to respond to his wishes to stop. They would be prosecuted for assault, torture, and kidnapping. If you have control over your treatment, you are, by definition, not being tortured. Is he going to do this 6 times a day for a month? And also, strangely, why is this consensual activity even legal when I can't... Oh, well, I'm done with this blank. A few minutes a day and I've reached my limits with these Nazis. And then I can't say the last sentence there, George. But anyway, I get your point. Yeah, that's very true. Sean will not... Sean may be waterboarded, but I will guarantee you that there will be conditions... in his little parody of torture, there will be conditions, if he goes through this proscribed, that guarantees that he won't come anywhere close to, what real detainees feel when this is applied by private contractors or CIA freaks or members of the Bush crime family who, get aroused in doing this kind of stuff. Sexually aroused. But, Sean, if Sean really wants to go through with it, I'm sure that there are some hard-ass, members of these, who've gone through, SERI training. I'm trying to do it right. SERI training, the survival, the training that teaches people how to resist some of the torture tactics. I'm sure that there would be somebody in one of the elite military teams who thinks Sean Hannity is a big dumbass. And, you know, maybe this guy could get a couple of his friends and they would show Sean exactly what he has said he will do. Not some little faux example of having water poured up your nose, Sean, you psychopath. But I mean the real deal. Of course, Hannity would never do that because Hannity, like all Republicans, like all conservatives, and especially like all media right-wingers, is a goddamn coward all the way down to his nasty feet. He is a coward. A coward. But I guess everybody's supposed to, or all his followers, are supposed, oh, Sean's going to do it. Sean will show them. Okay. You go ahead, punk. Now, I've got to digress here for a moment, and then when we come, when I finish this, we're going to open up the phone lines early tonight so that, you can get some calls in. The number here is 877-99-MALLOY. This is from People for the American Way. I don't know if you're, familiar. There is a federal hate crimes bill that is, in Congress right now. It's called the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act. And it's getting a lot of resistance from the Christian right. A lot of Christians don't want this bill. Christians don't want the bill. A lot of Christians don't want a federal hate crimes bill. As People for the American Way says, you know, why the controversy over a hate crimes law? Well, hate crimes are violent attacks on people who are targeted because of who they are. Thousands of Americans are physically attacked every year because of their race, religion, sexual orientation, gender, or gender identity, or disability. The crimes are meant to intimidate entire communities. The Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act, also known as the Federal Hate Crimes Bill, would direct federal resources to help local law enforcement fight violent hate crimes and would let federal law enforcement step in when the locals don't. Similar legislation passed both houses of Congress with bipartisan support during the last session, but never made it to the president's desk. Now, the Christian right are vehemently opposed to federal hate crimes laws because the Christian right resists any legal recognition of lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered people. That's because their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was so clear in his dictates to these freaks to hate queers, hate them. What, you missed that part of the New Testament? Well, it's in there. It's in there. Just ask any religious right dumbass. Jesus wants queers to be hated and cast out into the darkness. So that's why they do it. Now, the Christians know that most Americans support hate crimes legislation and anti-discrimination laws and legal protection for gay couples. So the Christians create confusion by portraying these steps towards equality as dire threats to religious liberty. Oh, my God, they're going to make us hire queer pastors. Oh, there's going to be queers all over in the church basement, up here where the podium is. What's this called? The Saint. How the hell would I know? So, yeah, they create confusion by portraying steps to protect folks who need protection because the Christian right in this country and its thugs on radio and television constantly set up. Let me get a good example right here in Atlanta today in the newspaper. I guess it happened yesterday. 11-year-old kid, an 11-year-old child. God damn it, 11 years old. And the people in his school, his classmates, were pushing him and bugging him and yelling at him and torturing him and calling him gay. And it wouldn't stop. He hanged himself last night. He's dead. And why do you think his classmates would take great sport in calling this little kid gay over and over and over? And why do you think this kid would be so driven to shame and loathing that he would kill himself. Huh? And isn't it a shame that 11-year-olds don't understand that death is forever? Isn't that a shame? I know, I'll kill myself and everybody will be sad and then I'll come back. God, I can't think about that. And he was discovered hanging by his 7-year-old sister. He was discovered hanging in the basement and the family was on television, absolutely distraught, didn't know what to think, what to say, what to do. An 11-year-old kid hanged himself. Now, that's not an unusual story in terms of how often it happens. And why are children picked on? Why is gay an epithet? Why is the bullying to this degree? Because their stinking parents allow it. Because they're stinking teachers and educators and newscasters and Republican leaders allow it. No, I'm not condemning all teachers. As a matter of fact, the school district where this happened here in the Atlanta area is a school district that has a very well thought out program to teach children not to be discriminatory. So I'm not referring to this particular school when I say the school teachers allow it, the principals allow it. You know, and how do they allow? Oh, come on, buckle up. So you've been called queer. So what? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So this local law enforcement enhancement act working its way through Congress is under attack by Christians in this country who apparently can cite you chapter and verse in their holy text where Jesus Christ said, don't give the queers an inch. If you give them an inch, they'll want, well, I better not say that. Don't give the queers an inch. Don't give them legal status. Don't let them marry. Don't let them do anything. Right? Christ must have said that somewhere. Right?
Your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why.
Watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
So I can watch you breathe and breathe for
storylines. It's 21 past the hour. It's called the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act, also known as the Federal Hate Crimes Bill. And it is designed to direct federal resources to help local law enforcement agencies fight violent hate crimes. And if they won't, then federal law enforcement steps in. You know, when the local redneck sheriff out here in rural Georgia says, I beat up a queer? Really? Well, where's the crime in that? Hot damn. So what the Christians are doing, they're fighting this bill, because like I said, their avatar, their God, whatever he is, Jesus was so adamant in saying that queers are second class citizens and they all ought to be burned. Apparently, I mean, that's what the Christians seem to indicate. They never cite chapter and verse where Jesus said this stuff, but somehow these Christians are able to divine, you'll pardon the pun, what their master really wanted them to do. And that was to deny homosexuals any kind of protection, legal or otherwise. So they create this confusion, the Christians do, by saying that the steps toward equality are dire threats to religious liberty. Right? Now, as People for the American Way put out today, this is part of a larger political strategy by Christian leaders to advance their policy goals and mobilize supporters with alarmist claims that Christians in America are on the verge of being jailed for their religious beliefs. Oh, no! My God. What happened to the Christian religion in this country? What happened to it? What happened to the political system? As PFAW goes on, as we've noted here before, there's a dangerously cynical motive at the core of the strategy. It is easier to convince Americans to support discrimination, even to oppose laws designed to discourage violent hate crimes, if you have first convinced them that their gay neighbors want to shut down their church and throw their pastor in jail for reading the Bible. This is what these filth pigs are doing. They're standing up in their pulpits every Sunday, and they're telling the arm-waving bobbleheads that they, the preachers, will be thrown in jail for reading the Bible if the queers get a hate crimes law passed, or if the lesbians or the bisexuals or my God. So, a couple more things. What does the religious right say about hate crimes legislation? The Christian crazy people. When hate crimes legislation came before the House of Representatives in 2007, Christian leaders went ballistic. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins insisted that its only effect would be to, quote, gag people of faith and conviction who disagree with the homosexual agenda, end quote. Jesus Christ, they won't stop using those two words, will they? Homosexual agenda. How many times does it have to be pointed out to them that the homosexual agenda is the same as the heterosexual agenda, and therefore there is no, there's no separation, there's no difference? Oh, that's right. But Jesus wants them all jailed or killed. That's right. I forgot. Tony Perkins' ally, it says here, Bishop Harry Jackson, recruited other African-American pastors. Okay, Harry Jackson is black. To appear at a press conference and in a newspaper ad claiming that hate crimes legislation would muzzle black preachers and deny them the freedom to preach about homosexuality. You mean against homosexuality. Why would preachers, black or white, preach against homosexuality? What has that got to do with the message of Christ? You filthy, hypocritical bastards. What does it have to do with the message of Christ? Your Jesus. What did Gandhi say? I like your Jesus, or I like your Christ, but I'm not real sure about your Christians. Yeah. Muzzle black preachers. That's what it'll do. And these black preachers stand, just like they're white preachers, they stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning and spew out their distortions and lies. Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. Isn't that the guy who does the little prayer meetings in D.C. that Hillary Clinton and all these members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, go to and pray to some sky spook and expect, the divine guidance? Isn't that the guy? Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network called a hate crimes bill, now listen to this, quote, the most dangerous legislation ever to come before Congress, end quote. To protect people from vicious acts based on their sexual orientation, to pass a law to do that is, according to this Christian maniac, the most dangerous legislation ever to come before Congress. Well, I'll be, you'll pardon the expression, goddamned.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 26 before the hour. Kathy in Green Bay writes about the hate crimes bill. What's really annoying is that the same religious fanatics that don't want to protect those who are victims of crimes because of their gender, sexual orientation, or disability are themselves protected by those laws. Yep, crimes committed because of race, religion, ethnicity, and national origin are already hate crimes. So the religious fanatics accept protection for themselves, but deny it to others. How very Christian of them. Yeah. Now, I'm quoting some of these Christian freaks who are following what their boy Jesus told them. Go hate the queers. Go stop the queers from getting married, from having laws to protect them. Let's just continue to beat them up. Surely Jesus said that. The Traditional Value Coalition's Andrea Lafferty said, quote, most Christians might as well rip the pages which condemn homosexuality right out of their Bibles because this bill will make it illegal to publicly express the dictates of their religious beliefs, end quote. Somebody needs to tell Andrea Lafferty that her boy Jesus never, ever, ever, ever said anything about homosexuality. If it were such a big deal, Andrea, don't you think Jesus would have said, oh, by the way, stop the queers from having legal rights? I guess Andrea is referring to the Old Testament, the book that belongs to the Jews, the book that when Jesus did trod the earth, if he did, he said, I come to redeem the law. I come to change the law. But even in that mode, he didn't have a word to say about homosexuality. Oh, really? Okay. Ken is in Oklahoma City. My views on gay rights are wrong? Is that what you want to say?
Wrong? Distorted.
How so? No, don't giggle, because I think you're a devil when you do that. That's and it scares me, and I will hang up on your ass. Now, Ken, how are my views, what did you say they are?
Distorted.
How are they distorted?
Well, first off, you're quoting Jesus Christ. And
No, I'm not quoting him. No, wait. Okay, I have to put you on hold. I have a rule here, Ken. You don't attribute to me statements that are rattling around inside your head. I did not quote Jesus Christ. In fact, I did just the opposite. I said there is no admonition from Christ against queers. Can you get that through your head? If you can, I'll allow you to continue. If you cannot, I'm going to move on to someone who will play by the rules. What do you want to do, Ken?
By whose rule?
Mine. It's called the Mike Malloy Show.
Oh,
get the hell out of here. Jesus Christ. Where do these people come from? Go back under your rock.
Rules, sweat rules.
I wanted to hear why you're...
Hey, I'm sorry. That's what everybody says to me. Well, Mike, you ought to go ahead and play with these freaks so we can hear you gut them. No, they stink up my program. I can smell them. I can smell them all the way through the atmosphere. I am not going to give these thugs airtime. They can get it. They can call Mike Savage. He loves to savage gay folk. There are a lot of programs he can call to relieve himself of his fear of gay folk. But not on this program. You're just not going to do it. If you are a right-wing freak and you have something to say, I've said this for 20 years, I will give you airtime as long as you play by Mike's rules. They're very simple. You don't attribute something to me that I didn't say. I don't think you'd like that. And you try to use coherent sentences, and we talk, you talk, and then I talk, and then you talk, and then I talk. And if I come over the top of you, it's because you are saying, you'll pardon that expression, Ken, it'll be because you are saying things that are outrageously stupid, and I'm not going to allow them on this program. That's very easy to understand. Or it should be. Really? All right. Larry is calling from Clover, South Carolina. Larry?
Welcome. Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right, Mike. I love this subject right here.
What?
I love the subject you're on tonight.
Okay.
My next door neighbors are gay.
Yeah?
I am a Christian.
Uh-huh.
They're some of the best neighbors I've ever had in my life.
Yeah?
They'll help you do anything. If you're outside working and you're having a problem, they're right there.
Well, Larry, do you think they ought to be allowed to get married?
Well?
Larry?
Well, just in a way I do.
No, you can't equivocate here. Do you think that two gay people should have the same right to get married as two not gay people have?
Yes, sir, I sure do.
You think they ought to be able to get married? Well, good for you, Larry. Good for you.
If you live together, you pay in bills, just like a married couple does.
Yeah.
Why can't you get married like a married couple does?
Well, I have no idea. In South Carolina, it's because y'all have a legislature and a governor over there who believe that it makes good sense to discriminate against people because of who they are. You know, you have a senator over there, Lindsey Graham, who's a little light in the loafers. Did anyone ever suggest that old Lindsey might have a sweetie stashed away somewhere of the same gender?
Well, you got to look at this. Where our governor from the last few months,
yeah,
he's really showed himself.
He's against everything. He wants y'all to stay. You know your governor over there is Sanford.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he reminds me of white plantation owners. I realize that not everybody in South Carolina is black, but he's like a white plantation owner. He wants y'all to stay in poverty. He doesn't want no help from the government up in Washington, D.C. He wants everybody in South Carolina. What's your unemployment rate over there now? Has it hit 15% yet?
We're close to it, I believe.
Yeah, it's getting close. It's getting close. And the governor of there wants everybody to remain poor, barefoot, and I don't know. Maybe that'll drive people into a form of soulful purity that will help them understand why, you know, gay folks should be. I don't know. I have no idea. All right, Larry. Well, I'm glad you're a Christian and you're all for gay rights. Is there anything anywhere in your Bible? And I hope this freak Ken is listening. Is there anywhere in your Bible where it says, where Jesus says, or anywhere in the New Testament where it says, be mean to gay people?
No, sir. It does say treat your neighbor as yourself.
It does indeed.
And the way I look at things, and a lot of people don't come to my house because of this subject, but because I will run them off. They're my friend. They're my neighbor. But the way I look at things, I got to ask what I do wrong. Mike Malloy's got to ask what he does wrong. My neighbors have to ask what they do wrong.
Oh, now wait. What they do wrong in terms of what?
Of anything. If I get drunk, I got to ask for it.
Right.
Now,
Larry, you're getting a little wobbly on me. Are you saying that your neighbors need, if they do something wrong, i.e., if they're gay, they need to handle that with the Lord or what? What are you saying, Larry? Larry?
Yes, sir, I'll come.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the fact that you called in. I really do. And I'm glad to hear that there is somebody in Clover, South Carolina, who feels the way you do. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right. You're a good man, Larry. Thanks a lot for checking in. I appreciate it. You take care. Take care. Well, I just wonder if the members of his church, well, none of the members of his church would be listening to this demonic program, but if they were, you know, I can see the phone lines over in Clover, South Carolina just buzzing right now. Hey, did you hear what Larry said on the radio? No, what'd he say? He said queers ought to get married. What? Let's call the preacher real quick. Larry, I'm not making fun of you, man. I've been there, done that. I live in South Carolina, too. It's called Georgia over here, but it's still South Carolina. Same thing. But good for you, Larry, for having that attitude. Good for you. That takes courage. It does. To declare yourself a Christian and believe in gay rights. See, I don't like that term. To believe in equal rights. Let's do that, you know. See, even your humble and obedient servant here has been so goddamn brainwashed by the rhetoric that is constantly out there. You know, there's no such thing as gay marriage. There's no such thing as gay rights. There's no such thing as any of that. There are human rights and, never mind. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy.
The siren of the ambulance, the deadpan of the cops, chalk to mark the outline where the boy first dropped. Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Molloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. From CNN, 11-year-old Jaheim Herrera woke up on April 16th acting strangely. He wasn't hungry and he didn't want to go to school. Jaheim Herrera's mother thinks he hanged himself because he was perpetually bullied at school. He came home much happier than when he left in the morning, smiling as he handed his mother, Masika Bermudez, a glowing report card full of A's and B's. She gave him a high five, and he went upstairs to his room as she prepared dinner. A little later, when his younger sister called him to come down to eat, Jaheim didn't answer, so mother and daughter climbed the stairs to Jaheim's room and opened the door. Jaheim was hanging by his belt in the closet. His mom said, quote, I always used to see these things on TV, dead people on the news. I saw somebody die, and to see this dead person is your son hanging there, a young boy. To hang yourself like that, you got to really be tired of something. Mom says bullies at school pushed Jaheim over the edge. He complained about being called gay, ugly, and the virgin because he was from the Virgin Islands, she said. He used to say, Mom, they keep telling me this gay word, this gay. I'm tired of hearing it. They're telling me the same thing over and over, she told CNN as she wiped away tears from her face. But while she says her son complained about the bullying, she had no idea how bad it had gotten. He told me, but he just got to the point where he didn't want to get involved anymore because nothing was done. His mother said she complained to the school about bullying 7 or 8 times, but it wasn't enough to save him. She said, quote, it apparently just got worse and worse and worse until Thursday. Just to walk up to that room and see your baby hanging there. My daughter saw this. My baby saw this. My kids are traumatized. She said Jaheim was just a shy boy trying to get a good education and make friends. He was a nice little boy, his mother said through her tears. He loved to dance. He loved to have fun. He loved to make friends. And all he made at school were enemies. His mother said she thinks her son felt like nobody wanted to help him, that nobody stood up and stopped the bullies. She says, quote, maybe he said, you know what, I'm tired of telling my mom she's been trying so hard, but nobody wants to help me. After Jaheim's death, the school board expressed condolences. Trying desperately to understand what went wrong, his mother asked her son's best friend to recount what happened on the day Jaheim killed himself. His mother said, recalling the conversation with Jaheim's best friend, he said he was tired of complaining, tired of these guys messing with him, tired of talking. I think his teachers, his counselors, nobody's doing anything. And the best way out is death. Less than a month before Jaheim's death, a boy in Massachusetts killed himself after being bullied, harassed, and called gay. Eliza Byard, executive director of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, says to be effective, awareness programs need to include education about the harm that can be done by teasing someone about sexuality or perceived sexualities. Jaheim's mother doesn't understand why the children at school couldn't learn to get along. Because of that, she'll never get to see her son grow up. She says, "My baby, that's my only boy, and I lost him now. He was my first child, and to lose him 11 years after, he didn't live his life." She hopes her son's death will result in positive changes that will help other kids being bullied. She says, "Those that are being bullied, they need to talk to their parents. They need to not hold back. I lost my son, and now something has to be done." I really do not like Christians. I've tried. I was brought up to be one. But I have, and maybe my attitude is just, overkill. Maybe I'm painting with a broad brush. I have yet to meet people who claim to be Christians on the one hand and who fully support equal rights for everybody on the other. I can remember when I first moved to the South a million years ago. It was the same thing, basically, about black people. Yeah, all the institutions that were segregated would be destroyed if black folk had the same rights as white people. What, to eat in a restaurant? With me? What? To go into a movie theater with me? To come into my church with me? What? Same argument, same thing. And that attitude was continued and enhanced and pushed into the minds of white Christians by white preachers every Sunday. Who was it that called Sunday morning the most segregated hour in America? Who said that? Don't send me. I really don't care. I really don't. It's just, you know, one of those little pieces of flotsam and jetsam that floats around in my mind has no real meaning, I guess. But and then there was a case in Colorado today. A guy was sentenced to life in prison without parole because Colorado, I guess, no longer has a death penalty for a vicious murder of a transgendered woman. They had a picture of her in and him, I think, in the New York Times. A beautiful woman and a man whose eyes just spelled disease. Diseases of the brain. Why did he kill a transgendered woman? He met her in an online chat room, apparently, and had a date with her and then another date. And when he found out, and it didn't indicate that he found this out by getting ready to have sex with her, but when he found out that she was a transgendered woman, he, I think it was a hammer that he picked up and beat her to death. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Go to the People for the American Way website. I think it's pfaw.org. They have a whole FAQ section that is very well done. It gives you kind of the outline of the battle plan by the Christian crazy people in this country to deny their brothers and sisters equal rights. I can't get my mind around people getting that fixated on someone else's sexuality to the extent that, and that's all it is. It has nothing to do with whether they believe in marriage for everybody or not. It is a fixation on somebody else's sex life that borders on, it goes way beyond voyeuristic and becomes almost fetishistic. You know, what, especially, if it's two men having sex together, it becomes something that is just, I don't know. The average straight guy would see absolutely nothing wrong with two women having sex together. As a matter of fact, that's a huge turn on for him, right? Come on. You know, we're all adults here. But the idea of two men having sex would push that poor, miserable bastard right over the edge. Now, the reason for that, in my opinion, is because it connects to something inside of him that's always there. That's all. I'm not saying he's gay, straight, up, down, left, right. It's just there. Human sexuality is human sexuality. You see a couple of people playing around, and they're both naked, and they're having a great time, and moaning and groaning and all that good stuff that you do. And if it's going to affect you in a very parallel way. If it happens, if you're a man, it happens to be two women, ooh, hot damn. If you're a man and it happens to be two men, wait a minute. No. Wait a minute. That's just my opinion. So you use religion, as these people use religion, as they do in so many instances, to just bludgeon other people. Isn't that nice? Isn't that what religion is designed for? Of course it is. That's its perfect function. It is designed to beat other people into the dust. My God is better than your God. What is this huge article I just read in, is it Harper's? Jesus killed Muhammad. It's about the Christianization of the Air Force Academy, and it names names, generals who have become truly as psychotic where it concerns Christianity, as members of the Taliban have become psychotic where it concerns Islam. It's a great read. You ought to read it. Just go to harpers.org and find the article. Jesus killed Muhammad. I think that's the title of it. A couple of emails, then we're going to go to your calls. This is from Nancy in Madison. Mike, if my memory serves me correctly, the Hate Crimes Act that passed last year was named for Matthew Shepard. You know, that sweet young man horrifically tortured and left to suffer a painful death in Cheney's, Wyoming in 1998. 2008 was the 10-year anniversary, and we celebrated that our Congresswoman, Tammy Baldwin, had it introduced in his memory. I'm not only a lesbian myself, but deeply involved in religious studies in the Episcopal Church. Wouldn't the religious right want protection if a gang of flaming gays and butchy lesbians had chased their group out of town, taunting them? Or would we be justified? Sarah. Mike, this is from Sarah. That was from Nancy. This is from Sarah. The greatest ruse ever conjured is Christianity. Their Christ sounds remarkably human. Anglo, male, racist, sexist. The adage, nothing new under the sun, is a true statement. Only the style in which the clever dominate group leaders and their shamans hoodwink while mocking their gullible tribesmen. I'm sorry, that's how you wrote it there, Sarah. Mike, if religious fanatics were to study the origins of religion, they will crawl under a rock and gnash their teeth to know they've been duped by the Cheneys of that era. It's all a lie. Man's inhumanity to man begins at the moment of conception. That was from Sarah. From Angela. Hey, Mike, last year I was opposed to gay marriage because I saw the commercials that said the kids would have to relearn stuff in school. But after clarification, I'm now clear on the issue, and I now feel it's okay for gays to marry each other. And thanks for not entertaining those disruptive Limbots and Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly worshipers. Angela in L.A. This is from David. Mike, my boyfriend and I have been together almost 25 years. I love him dearly. We don't spend our days in parks recruiting new gays. We spend our time mostly working to keep our business thriving. We have a great life together. We live 5 blocks from the beach in Denea, Florida. The hardest people I ever had to get along with were in my own family. You see, my granddad, who I love dearly, was a Pentecostal preacher. His kids were the hardest bunch I ever had to get along with. He, on the other hand, based his life on Jesus' life. What a guy he was. Keep up the good work. Your fan, David. P.S. I never wanted to get married until they said I couldn't. This is from Tom in, where is he? He's in Madison also. Tom, hey, Mike, I too consider myself a Christian, but do subscribe to the Bible's teaching that we need to love and respect everyone and that everyone should be treated as equal. And I do believe that, at least here in Madison, educated, free-thinking Christians are far more common than the right-wing punks and idiotic religious extremists want you to think. I think we should not be seen by what God we believe in, but rather how we apply whatever teachings we believe to better everyone. Love the show. You're the only sane soul left in radio, and I don't miss a show. Tom. Well, that's right. Thank you. I appreciate that. And this is from J.E. Somewhere in rural West Tennessee, where there's a church every 10 feet. J.E. writes, Mike, I'm rarely in my car after 8 p.m., but last night I was. I always listen to Sirius Left, but have only caught bits and pieces of your show. Last night, however, I was able to listen to your show at length. I'm not embarrassed to admit I now have a huge man crush on you. For the first time, someone expressed the anger that I and too few others feel. Also, you seem to see Christianity and Christians for their hypocritical, weak-minded fools they are. Like cattle being led to slaughter, they're happy to be manipulated by their power-crazed conservative leaders, suckling at the teat of ignorance, hate, and fear. These people are too afraid to make their own decisions. They just ask Jesus. What would Jesus do, they say? I'll tell you what Jesus would do if a Jesus actually existed. He would kill them all for being... Well, I can't say those last two words. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. You folks show are free with the language tonight. Just make sure you keep it on the email. And don't think you can get an F-bomb over the air because we are... What's our delay? 10 seconds?
I don't know. I don't care anymore. I'm just sort of giving up at this point.
Why do you say that?
Oh, why say anything? Just go ahead, Mike. Let her rip. Let the callers go. I just, you know, I'm going to go have some ice cream.
No. Stay here. Elaine is calling from, is it Honesville, PA?
That's it. Hey, Mike, I love you and Kathy.
Well, thank you very much.
First, just a real quick thing. Before the tonight's fall report, one verse in the St. James Bible says a man will not lay with a man. It's not even in the context that you would think it is.
Right, but who, what book?
I'll be damned if I know. My daughter just told me.
Right. Well,
she's gay.
But it's not the words of Jesus.
And no, it was one of his quote-unquote disciples, but it's only in the St. James Version. It's not in any other versions of the Bible.
Okay. Well, in the same, you mean the King James Version?
Or King James, yeah.
Yeah. And, all right, hold on a second. I got to put you on hold for a second, Elaine, because we have to do a break here. We'll come back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
bringing up America one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, we were talking with Elaine, who is in Honesville, PA. All right, where were we?
Okay, getting to tonight's faux report. I wasn't going to do that this again this week, but I have been getting tweets all week after my sickening 3 days last week or three evenings of tweeting about Beck, O'Reilly, and Hannity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to do it again, but I went ahead, I watched Beck, and then after seeing Beck and the end of it, I had to watch O'Reilly tonight. Beck pretty much went on for most of his program saying the usual, that bringing up these memos of, what is it they call it, not torture, but the other words.
Yeah,
that,
enhanced interrogation.
Right, yeah. Well, Boner slipped today, you know that, and called it torture.
Yeah, I saw that film clip on Overman's program, yeah.
But anyway, he was going on about that. About close to the end of Beck's show, though, he had O'Reilly on.
Mm-hmm.
And as a teaser, they said that O'Reilly's show tonight was going to be Obamagate. He was going to tell everybody about the world, the universe, politics, and the way things really are. So, you know, Cole being a fair, balanced, and unbiased coverage, I watched O'Reilly this evening. Well, O'Reilly has uncovered by slipping the guy that runs around with the camera, Jesse filming people.
Oh, yeah.
He bought three shares of MSNBC.
Yeah, yeah. I saw this on Overman's. Where are you going with this?
Well, apparently General Electric is behind the myth of global warming, deforestation of the rainforest, destruction of mountaintops, and pollution by coal. This is all a myth at General Electric. And
well, you know, some of that is true. I don't have any problem with anybody attacking General Electric on a couple of levels, Elaine. First of all, it is one of the biggest manufacturers of weapons of destruction on Earth. It is part of the military-industrial complex that Dwight Eisenhower warned about. It does exploit natural resources. It does cause pollution and death and sickness and destruction. The fact that some little twit on Fox brought it up, he's not bringing it up from that standpoint. He's bringing it up strictly from the standpoint, NBC, which is owned by General Electric, is somehow losing money or not doing as well as O'Reilly and all this other nonsense. But anyway, no, Elaine, I completely, agree with the idea that General Electric, the planet would be better off without General Electric. That's, you know, I've said that many, many times. Thanks, Elaine. I appreciate it. Any corporation at this point in the history of this country and in their own history that still produces death weapons, instruments that can kill people up close or far away, that designs engines for pilotless aircraft, for missile launch mechanisms. You know, screw that. I've had enough of that. I've lived my whole life under this. My entire, well, not entire, but damn near my entire life. I was a kid in elementary school when Eisenhower made his famous statement about the military-industrial complex. But, you know, my whole life has been trying to avoid and in that way process the fact that I live in a country that produces more death and more weapons of death and destruction than any society or nation or people in the history of this planet. The largest exporter of weaponry on Earth is the United States and has been for what? I don't know, 60, 70 years? I have no idea. General Electric happens to be part of that collection of death-selling companies that cares not a goddamn about the consequences of what it makes. But, you know, they hide behind the, oh, well, we're defending America. No, you're not. You're not defending America at all. You're defending your bottom line. You're trying to make money, a profit. You know, why don't you get into green energy? Why don't you stop being a mass killer kind of corporation, GE? You know, as far as your television network is concerned, fine. You know, how did you happen and why did you happen to get to buy a television network? We all know the answer to that. So, Ward writes, the New Testament has no statement regarding homosexuality. The King James Bible has two, but they are in Leviticus. Yeah, I as far as I know, there's nothing in the New Testament about sexuality. The Old Testament is full of incest and, you know, fathers and daughters getting it on and, you know, Jesus. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's always gonna be a delicacy. So lick your chops and eat the meat.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. A couple more emails here. This is regarding torture. This is from Bob. Mike, as I hear the mainstream press try to belittle the importance of the U.S. torturing people, describing it as a left versus right contretemps, all I can think of is yet another parallel to the Nazi regime. We are once again experiencing the banality of evil. Though it is hard to recognize in real time, we, like the Germans pre-World War II, find it easy to justify what we want to do based on expediency. Everything that they did then was based on legal justifications by government lawyers and a justification for those legal opinions based on protecting the homeland. We can listen to Dick Cheney admit to ordering war crimes and think that he is evil, which he may well be, or alternatively hear him admit that he was simply a bureaucrat doing his job the best way he could. Not much in the world is more banal and boring than a bureaucrat doing his job. Scary part is that the people most strongly in favor of torture seem to be the same people who most vocally abhor Nazis and their methods. Well, yeah, Bob, thanks. Yeah, they scream against Nazis and their methods, for the simple fact that they are stupid beyond belief. They are Nazis. They are Nazis. And, of course, I think Bob knows that. Last one, then back to your calls here. This is from Dennis. Mike, we have a homophobic couple living here in West Bend, Wisconsin, who feared there are gays behind every tree. They held up the school board's vote on an anti-discrimination policy because it included sexual orientation. Having lost that, they then turn to the library because they have gay books that promote that lifestyle, and they are pornographic! When the library said they could not ban books, they turned to the library board and had four members of the board tossed out Tuesday evening by the Common Council because they opposed banning books or outwardly disagreed with these people. Included in those kicked off the board was a 24-year university librarian, a highly regarded attorney, a retired teacher, and a high school teacher and alderman. Those all seem like the qualifications for people to serve such an important institution. One of the aldermen even suggested that the library should be closed since it has pornography within 1,000 feet of a school. The brown shirts are always close by here in West Bend, and these actions prove it. Yeah, well, you know, in fairness, of course, it's not just West Bend. That's an ongoing situation here in metropolitan Atlanta over and over and over again. Jesus, God, if it's not some sickness called, what is it, intelligent design to replace evolution, if it isn't that, it's that Judy Blume's books are all full of queers running around trying to seduce little kiddies, or it's books that will lead one from homosexuality into having sex with sheep. The sickness is all over the place, and it's directly related to Christianity and Judaism, although most of the Jews that I know are in favor of a person's right to get married. Just not in my synagogue, right? I just threw that in there. Marriage is a contract sanctioned by the state, period. That should be the end of it. Of course, it's not, but it should be. Hussein is calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey.
Hey, my great show is very enlightening, and I really enjoy the show every day. I grew up in the Middle East a long time ago when I was a student. I was arrested by the regime, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Middle East, they're all dictators.
Right.
So I was arrested and I was tortured, you know. They have this torture called 14 where they put two rods on the sides of your head and they, like, squeeze them hard so you would, like, you know, your brain, like, won't explode or something.
Sure.
In any case, like, we were sitting one time, me and other activists, we all arrested, and we were joking about, like, you know, there was a joke going around saying that, you know, this rap was given to different types of officers, an Egyptian officer, an Israeli officer, and an American officer, you know, they all interrogated, and each one of them dealt with the rabbit a certain way. Israeli one bludgeoned the rabbit to death, Egyptian one, like, bludgeoned the rabbit to death, but he came out with I got a confession from the rabbit. And the American one, it is right. So at the time I thought, like, this guy is very merciful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, you know, from the joke. Yeah.
Hussein, Hussein, let me interrupt. Your voice is not coming through very well on your cell phone. As a matter of fact, we're getting about every third word distorted. And I think the listeners are losing about 90% of what you're saying. I know I am. Let me ask you something very quickly. You said at the start of your phone call that, I think you said all the regimes in the Middle East are dictatorships. Do you think Israel is a dictatorship?
In a way, I mean, if it's a democracy, it's not for all the inhabitants,
right?
The people who live in Israel. Israel is like, I think it's like an apartheid, but
right.
My point of the story is that at the time I looked up to America, like, from the joke, you know.
Sure.
I was thinking, like, oh, Duke was like the American interrogator.
Mm-hmm.
And in with the rabbit, and he was reading the rabbit is right. Right.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Hussein, it's really getting bad. Your call, and I hate to do this because I know you've called the show before, and I like to hear what you have to say, but either your phone is weird, or you're in a bad cell, or atmospheric conditions are screwed up tonight. But we just can't get you, man. But I appreciate it. And the other reason I asked that question about Israel being a dictatorship, because obviously it is not. But it has institutionalized, as far as I'm concerned, a racist attitude toward Palestinians. It also is an occupying force. I don't know how you describe a country that establishes itself on top of another country. I mean, what is that called? You know, occupation or invasion but a country or a group of people that show up. I mean, we did it here. So, you know, not that I'm necessarily pointing fingers just at the people who now consider themselves to be Israelis. You know, a lot of people in this country consider themselves to be Americans, but when you get right down to it, you know, when you show up on somebody in somebody else's backyard and say, "Hey, I like your backyard. I'm going to take it." Well, why are you going to take it? Because God told me it's mine. Oh, okay. You know, I'm going to resist that. Go ahead and resist. We don't care if you resist. We have all kinds of weapons. We have disease germs. We have missiles. Depending on what century it is. So, you know, apartheid in South Africa is, it's another good example. The Dutch, the English, you know, they show up and they say, "Oh, wow, man, damn, look at this country. Whew. What's the name of this place?" "Oh, I don't know. It's something like Bula, Bula, Bula." You can't understand these people. Let's call it South Africa. Let's call it Boerland. Let's call it, you understand what I'm saying. I get off on these damn tangents. I'm sorry. Dan is calling from Franksville, Wisconsin. Hey, Dan, listening on the mic. Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
It's, I don't know where to go. You're all over the place.
I know.
The guy with the dictators. I mean, yeah, well, America loves dictators. They give money to Egypt. Yeah, they're in love with them. The Saudis, our friends, the Saudis.
Yeah.
And then when there wasn't democracy in Iran, pull that out. So, you know, you always hear that stuff on the radio. The Middle Eastern countries are all dictators. Yeah, they're supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. You have to get your head on your shoulders right so you can understand it. When you give them money and you fall absolutely in love with them, that means you like them.
Yeah.
You love them.
Yeah.
One of the two. Is it true you have to fall in love with them first before you like them?
What? Dan? What?
I remember that as far as relationships doesn't make much sense. Just that they say that love. It's easy to fall in love with a woman, and it's harder to live with them, but I was just trying to throw it
in. What's that got to do with Middle East sheikhs and dictators?
No, that's just that these people are obsessed. They love dictators.
Who? What people?
The people in Washington.
Oh.
Corporate America absolutely loves dictators.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. Okay, now I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's much easier to do business in a country that's run by a dictator. It's much easier to exploit that country if it's run by a dictator because you don't have anybody to answer to. You just sit down with the dictator and say, "Hey, you know, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal here. I'll give you $50 million a year and you just turn away while I steal everything that's not nailed down in your country." No, I get what you say. Hey, thanks, Dan. I got to move on. Appreciate you checking in.
Those that bleed the blood, those that work to will it. Can't believe the big screen. There's no justice in the hall. We're all criminals waiting to be called. They say don't step off the sidewalk and don't cross over the line. But we'll serve time at night when the lights begin to dim and the smoke seems to clear. You can't say what you want. We're all criminals.
Ten before the hour, thanks to our crew, Kathy Bay, Ben Birch, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Bruce Enberg, all put together by executive producer Kathy Bay. You know, I saw on, they're still showing some videos of some of the teabaggers from last Saturday here in the metro Atlanta area. And I forget exactly what the voiceover was like, but they showed a video today on Channel 2 here in Atlanta of some of these teabaggers, and they were juggling balls, and you know, throwing them back and forth and looking like, I don't know what, jugglers. And I, for some reason that struck me as funny. Teabaggers throwing balls back and forth. Whether or not they were there for entertainment or there to mock these freaks, or if they were real teabaggers who were trying to make a statement. I don't know. But anyway, for some reason that crossed my mind. I guess somebody sent me an email here about how quickly the teabagging phenomenon has disappeared from the radar screen, right? Elizabeth is calling from San Antonio, listening on XM. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi there. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. I just tuned into your show for the first time tonight, and I was listening to the letter you read from, I don't remember who it was that called, wrote, and he was going about how Christians were callous and led to the slaughter and suckling at the teat and all that. And
yeah.
I guess I was a little miffed by that. I am a Christian. I am in the military. And I'm bisexual. And I think it was a very harsh generalization that this guy made, saying that we're all so eager to lead our crazy liberal leader peoples. And honestly, I mean, there's people out there like that. I mean, we got Fred Pelps out in Kansas, who, you know, God Hates Fags founder. And I got to tell you, I'm a Christian, and I can't wait for the day that the guy dies. I can't stand the man. And
then by your own words, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. You for some reason you've adopted parts of that religion, but you're picking and choosing. Jesus said to love your enemies. Jesus said to turn the other cheek. You should go to Mr. Phelps and kiss him and hug him and pray with him and contribute money to his church. You're not a Christian. Come on, Elizabeth, stop.
Okay. All right. Good point.
I'm not trying to make points on you. I'm just trying to say that, yeah, I make sweeping generalizations. How does something become a generalization? This program is full of generalizations. Here's one. All Republicans are sick sons of bitches who ought to be just removed from the political system. That's a generalization. Now, why do I use that? Because the vast, vast majority of Republicans fit that generalization. That's why it's called a generalization. You're making a generalized statement about a political point of view or a religious point of view or a point of view having to do with evolution or whatever it is. I have no problem, and I don't think most people do, in making sweeping generalizations. There are exceptions to these generalizations, sure, but, you know, why does a stereotype become a stereotype? Why does a generalization, leap up, and present itself where people refer to it? You know, that's all I'm saying, but, as far as your religious beliefs, you know, those are certainly yours, Elizabeth, whatever you think, you are, okay, you know. But if you carry hate in your heart, then that's in violation or in contradiction to your Christian belief. Now, I carry hate in my heart, my back pocket, my ear sockets, my hair, in my socks, shoes, in my backpack, in my pickup truck. I am just absolutely a carrier of hate because there's so much out there to hate. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not someone who can, you know, zen above everything or meditate it away. Hell no. I hate these sons of bitches. I hate them with every fiber in my being. And I'm proud of it. I mean, I could no more adopt a religion. And wait, now I realize there are a lot of people out there who have transcended hate and who are just as liberal as the day is long. And yes, I have respect for you. Let me just say this. I'm not there yet, and I'm in no hurry to get there. If I should die tomorrow, saturated in my hate, you know what? I couldn't care less. First of all, because if I die tomorrow, I won't know it. I have no idea that, oh, God, you're dead. I am? Really? You know, so I just commented on what you said because it's in complete contradiction. You can't say you're a Christian and say that you wish Fred Phelps would rot or die or whatever it was you said. If you're a real Christian, you say, Fred Phelps, he needs my unconditional love to whatever it is that Christians believe unconditional love will do. You understand what I'm saying? No offense, though. I'm not trying to be a smartass with any of this. It's just, you know, it's what you said. And Vanessa is going to subscribe to my podcast tonight. She sent me an email earlier and said that if I did a certain thing, which I have now done, she would subscribe. And I hope we do have folks who will subscribe to the podcast tonight because, like I've said before, we need your subscriptions early on. All right? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.